Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it so good that we could gather in the mountains this weekend?
Amen.
It's so good to come away from everything, to leave everything behind, forget about everything that's down there, and just come up to the mountain to meet with God.
Amen.
To behold God, to linger in His Word, to fellowship with one another. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Revelation 21:10, it says, He carried me away in spirit onto a great and high mountain.
Amen.
And showed me the holy city, the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Well, this weekend we're up here on the physical mountain, but we also want to be carried away in spirit onto a spiritual mountain.
Amen.
This weekend we want to be on the high mountain.
Amen.
And we want to see a vision of what? A vision that there is a divine stream in this universe.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, there is a divine stream in this universe.
Amen.
We want to see this divine stream.
Amen.
And we want to enter in, experience, and enjoy this divine stream this weekend.
Amen.
And then we want to just flow down the mountain and for the rest of our lives just stay in this divine stream.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we come to the first outline. Let's read the title of the conference, which I just spoke together, and then we'll read the title of message one. How about if brothers, then sisters, and all together on the title of the conference, and then all together on the title of this message.
Amen.
The divine
stream. Amen. Sisters. All together.
The divine stream.
Amen. Okay, let's come to message one. All together. The divine stream to water man and supply God as life to man. Hallelujah. The divine stream to water man and supply God as life to man. There is a divine stream in this universe that waters man. This divine stream supplies God as life to man.
Amen.
Well, tonight we're going to hear the gospel. We're going to hear some good news.
Amen.
And this gospel is just that there is a divine stream in this universe.
Amen.
Actually, as we come to the scriptures reveal that man's need, man has a need, and it's met only in God. Man's need is met in God alone. God Himself is the supply. He's the only supply. And He is all the supply to meet man's need.
Amen.
God has an intention in this universe. And He wants to be life to man. That He could supply man and meet God's need. Only by receiving God as life can we enjoy Him and live by Him. But life is mysterious. How can God come into us as life? The divine life's a mystery. Even the human life's a mystery. Life is a mystery. So it's difficult to define. How could this God come into us as life? Well, praise the Lord. In the Bible, God uses a figure to describe how God comes as life to us. What is this figure? The divine stream.
Amen.
This is the triune God flowing to us to be life to us and to meet man's need. When we consider this figure, it's very easy to understand. We know a stream flows, and as the stream flows, what do we? We just take a drink.
Right?
So this helps us to understand how God could come to us as life and supply us. Praise the Lord. So we just like to spend the whole weekend considering this central and crucial matter that runs throughout the Bible of the divine stream.
Amen.
The Roman numeral 1, which will be much of this message, shows us that in the universe, there is a divine stream.
Amen.
Which starts in the beginning of the scriptures and flows through the whole Bible.
Amen.
So, from the beginning of the Bible, flowing throughout the Bible, to the end of the Bible, there is this divine stream.
Amen.
So tonight we'll be taking a helicopter tour, a panoramic tour to follow this divine stream, and we'll fly along and we'll dip down into various books throughout the Bible and various passages. We'll consider a little, get out, take a drink, then fly a little further along, and we'll just survey the entire Bible to see in the universe and in the scriptures this divine stream.
Amen.
Amen. So if you have your Bibles, it's good. You can keep it out. If you have it on your phone, you have the physical copy. We'll be going through the whole Bible. You could just follow along. If not, I'll be happy to read the verses to you as well. But we'll be spending our time going through the scriptures. And, you know, as we come to all these passages, again, we want to come to the Lord. And we want to be open to the Lord. And we need to just have a prayer within us, as the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, that he would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him.
Amen.
That the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, because we want to see this vision tonight. We want to see this vision of the divine stream. This is too important of a matter, and this is too central of a matter in the universe. We want to see this stream, and we want to be in this stream. So we can just pray as we go through for the Lord to open our eyes so that we could see something and begin to taste and enter into this divine stream. I believe already we've somewhat been entering into the divine stream. As we've been praying throughout the week, we've been opening, we've been consecrating for this weekend. As we got in the cars together, as we're riding up, we've been drinking, we've been entering into the divine stream. In our singing time, we're beginning to enter in, and this weekend we want to enter in more and more.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, the first stop we'd like to take is right at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. A points out, in Genesis 2, the stream flows alongside the tree of life. The tree of life is the embodiment of life, but in order for this life to enter into us, there is the need for it to flow. Does anyone have Genesis chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 handy, if they'd like to read that to us? Genesis 2, 9 and 10, if a couple of you could stand up and read that together to us.
Amen.
Amen.
And out of the ground Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. As well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden.
Amen.
And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Amen.
And a river went forth from Eden to water the garden.
Amen.
And from there it divided and became four branches.
Amen.
Okay, so right in the beginning of the Bible, we see first God created man, and then he put him in the Garden of Eden, which Eden means pleasure. And he put him before the tree of life. So there's the tree of life. And the next verse, and a river went forth. So the tree of life was the embodiment of God's life, saying that God wanted man to take him in as life, take him in as food. But for this life to enter into us, there's a need for it to flow. So there's a river there. There's a flowing river. This flowing stream is to be contacted and received by man. And actually, in Genesis chapter 2 and in Revelation 22, there's the tree of life, there's the river of water of life. There's a river and a tree in Genesis 2, and there's a river and a tree in Revelation 22. So this river, point one, going forth from Eden, signifies the river of water of life going forth from God, indicating that God is the source of the living water for man to drink. So this river went forth from Eden, indicates that God is the source. This river is going forth from God. And there's some excellent verses in the New Testament we can look at. John chapter 4, verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.
Amen.
So this water is of God. And he is the one that gives this living water. He is the source of this living water.
Amen.
Also in 7:37, the Lord Jesus cried and said, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So he is the source of this wonderful drink, this wonderful river. Amen. Point two points out, the one river becoming four branches signifies that the river flows out of the unique God as the source and the center to what? Reach man in every direction. So it's going forth, but then it's dividing into four rivers, and it's going to various parts of the earth from the Garden of Eden. So God is desiring to reach man. What kind of God do we have? We have a God who is desiring to flow forth as life and to reach man. To reach man in every direction. He wants to be available to all mankind. He's longing to flow out and reach man. This is what is in God. He's a flowing forth God. He's a God reaching man. He's a God dividing to all the parts of the earth, desiring to flow forth and reach man. Hallelujah, we have such a God.
Amen.
He didn't stay in himself, but he had a desire to flow forth to us.
Amen.
And we can participate in this river of water of life and enjoy God.
Amen.
So this is how the Bible begins, with such a wonderful river. Well, let's flow to Exodus chapter 17. And there's quite a particular scene we have here in Exodus 17. The water of life is typified by the water that came out of the smitten rock. And just to give you a little background, this is the children of Israel journeying through the wilderness. They had been rescued out of Egypt, and they were heading towards the good land for God's purpose. And as they're going through the wilderness, the Lord is providing for them the manna, but they were thirsty, and they needed a drink. So there's this wonderful provision of the smitten rock with the river coming forth. I'll just read some of the verses. And all the assembly, this is chapter 17, 1 through 6, all the assembly of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin by their stages, according to the command of Jehovah, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said, why are you contending with me? Why do you test Jehovah? So the people thirsted there for water. We'll get into this word thirsted this evening a few times. And the people murmured against Moses and said, for what reason did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to Jehovah, saying, what shall I do with this people? A little more and they will stone me. And Jehovah said to Moses, take in your hand your staff, which you struck the river, and go. I will be standing before you there upon the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He struck the rock, and the water came forth to so that the people, the thirsty children of Israel, could drink. Well, this is quite mysterious. There was this actual physical thing that took place with the children of Israel, but actually there's a spiritual significance here. And there's a reality that we see in the New Testament. Actually, the Old Testament gives us the pictures and gives us, we need the pictures. They're such a help to us to experience God. But in the New Testament, we have the caption to explain the pictures. And there's a very clear verse in 1 Corinthians 10:4, talking about the children of Israel and their journey. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10, all these things that the children of Israel passed through happened as examples to us, directly applicable to us. And it said, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of a spiritual rock which followed them. And the rock was Christ.
Amen.
So in the New Testament we have the reality. The rock was Christ.
Amen.
And not only did they experience it there, but this rock followed them. Hallelujah. This river follows us.
Amen.
Christ as the rock, with the water coming forth, follows us and is available to us. So Christ is the reality of this type. In John 19:34, on the cross, Christ's side was pierced and living water flowed out for God's people to drink. So the rock that was smitten or struck by the staff in the Old Testament, well, our Lord, when he was on the cross, he was smitten, he was struck. This was his crucifixion. And actually, a soldier came and pierced his side. And when this happened, something wonderful came forth. Something flowed out. Amen. Hallelujah. A flow came forth. Just like in Exodus 17, a flow came forth out of Christ's pierced side. Amen. And what was this flow? What was this water? Well, point one, the water flowing out of the smitten rock typifies the Spirit. Okay, how do we know this? How do we know that this water is the Spirit? John 7, some of you read the verses earlier. The Lord said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he said concerning the Spirit. Shall flow rivers of living water. This he said concerning the Spirit, Amen. Whom those who believed into him were about to receive. So this flowing forth from Christ is nothing else than the Spirit. Flowing forth, the triune God flowing forth as the Spirit. And there was crucifixion. Christ was smitten on the cross. But after crucifixion, there was something. There was resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Death could not hold the resurrection life. Amen. This flowing river could not be held by death.
That's right.
So this water is flowing forth in resurrection. So when we look at the rock, we look at Christ, we see something of his incarnation. We see something of his human living, his death, his redemption, him being struck for us. So, when the Lord was on the earth as a human, he lived a hard life. He had many difficulties. He had many hardships. He had many trials. And then eventually he faced the ultimate trial of death and he went to Hades. But none of this could hold him because within him was the divine life. Amen. And within him was the river of water of life that couldn't be held by death, that sprung up, that sprang forth, that flowed out. So this is our Christ. And, you know, today, this river is available for us to drink. He became the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, to give us life. He wanted to flow forth to us, right? So just consider, if you have, anyone ever have hardship? Anyone ever have difficulties? Well, this is our human life. But we have to realize there is a source. There is a source we can tap into. If we drink this water, we will become people in resurrection. We will become people of resurrection. And there will be a springing forth. And there will be a refreshing. And there will be a satisfying. And nothing can hold us down.
Amen.
And, you know, we're a lot like the children of Israel. When we're not supplied, when we're not touching life, we're just murmuring, right? Are any of you all murmuring type people? I know, when I'm not enjoying life, I'm murmuring. Oh, Lord. We're irritable, we're complaining, we're unhappy. We're just in this other realm, right? We're just in this other realm. There's no divine stream. Well, we shouldn't be surprised, but we have the antidote. We just have to remember, if we're irritable, we're having a bad day, don't stay in that day. Don't stay in your irritability, your murmuring. Don't stay in your misery. But we need to jump into the divine stream.
Amen.
We need to enjoy the flowing. When we're enjoying the abundance of the Spirit flowing, all the problems are gone. We just need a retreat. We need to go to the divine stream. So, brothers and sisters, we need to live our lives in such a reality, in the divine stream, flowing along with God in our daily life. He's so real, he's so available, and he's so practical to us.
Amen.
This is the divine stream in Exodus 17. Okay, Psalm chapter 36. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Very wonderful, excellent, enjoyable verses. I think someone has to read these to us. I know we read them at the beginning. Who has it? Someone towards the back. Psalm 36, 8 and 9. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
They are saturated with the fatness of your house.
Amen.
And you cause them to drink of the river of your pleasure.
Amen.
For with you is the fountain of life.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You cause them to drink of the river of your pleasures. The river of God's pleasures. It seems like we wouldn't even need to be caused or convinced, but sometimes we just, for some reason, but hallelujah, the Lord is faithful to cause us to drink of the river of his pleasures. This is so enjoyable. Well, you know, our God wants us to experience and enjoy him. He is an experienceable God. He is an enjoyable God. So as such, he is the triune God to flow to us. And here we have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit represented in these verses. With you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. This is the Father. The Father is the source. He's the fountain. The fountain of life and light. But also, we are saturated with the fatness of your house. And the fatness is the abundance. And if we had time, we'd get in to show you how this just represents Christ. The abundance, the fatness that we can enjoy. He's so rich. So we have the Father as the source, in the Son as the fatness, flowing to us as the river, this is the Spirit,
amen.
As we saw from John chapter 7. So you have the triune God, the Father in the Son, as the Spirit, flowing to us to be enjoyed by us,
amen.
To be experienced and enjoyed by us.
Amen.
So this weekend, and as we come to the Scriptures, we're not talking about a doctrine. We're not just talking about the triune God, but we're talking about something we can experience and something we can enjoy.
Amen.
And what we can experience and enjoy is nothing less than the God of this universe in all his wealth, in all his riches, in all his abundance. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, we also see the flow of the triune God to us. There's the love of the Father. There's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's the fellowship or the flow of the Spirit. And it says, be with you all.
Amen.
This weekend, the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
May it flow to us all. Moment by moment, message by message, meal by meal,
Amen.
Break time by break time.
Amen.
We want to even help one another to be brought into such an enjoyment and such an experience. We need to flow to one another.
Amen.
So this is what the Bible shows us. The entire Bible was written according to the controlling vision. This is from one of the footnotes in the Recovery Version, the Study Bible, which has some excellent study notes. And I really enjoyed this one. I'll share it with you. The entire Bible was written according to the controlling vision that the triune God is working himself into his chosen and redeemed people to be their life and life supply.
Amen.
In order to saturate their entire being. He wants to keep flowing until he keeps saturating our entire being, until we're just soaked with this river of water of life. Saturate their entire being with the divine Trinity, that is, with the Father as the fountain, the Son as the fatness, and the Spirit as the river. Hallelujah for such an enjoyment. Okay, this is Psalm chapter 36. Now we come to Ezekiel chapter 47. And Ezekiel chapter 47 is so rich, we'll actually have to take an entire message tomorrow night, mainly on Ezekiel chapter 47. And it'll come out in some of the other messages as well. But I'd just like to give you a little bit of a foretaste. I'd just like to come down in the helicopter, take a little taste, take a little drink, and look at Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel 47 presents the triune God as the water of life flowing out of eternity to quench the thirst of his people, to swallow up death, and to produce life.
Amen.
I'll just read some sampling here of the verses. Verse 1, he brought me back to the entrance of the house, and there was water flowing out from under the threshold of the house to the east. And it was a river that I could not pass through, enough water to swim in. So there is this mighty river, enough water to swim in. We can just jump in and float in this river and enjoy this river. Be carried away in spirit this weekend, swimming in this river. Amen. Okay, verse 7. There were very many trees on the bank of the river. Verse 8. When it flows into the sea, the water of the sea is healed. Verse 9. Every living creature shall live. There will be very many fish. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything shall live wherever the river comes. And on the banks of both sides of the river will grow all kinds of trees for food. Wow, what a scene here of the reality in this universe. Okay, so we had being carried away in this river, water to swim in. Also, we had this river has healing power. Do any of you need healing? Well, when the triune God flows to us, as we open our being to him, he flows in and he heals us. Isn't this wonderful? We're all wounded. We're all beat up from the world and from mistreatment, but we just come and we turn to the Lord, we open to this river, and he gently flows in and he heals us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The triune God, as the river of water of life, as the divine stream, has a healing power.
Amen.
We can experience this healing power. It also has the power to produce. There are very many fish. Hallelujah. Very many fish. Also, this river swallows up death. Everything shall live wherever the river comes. Are you ever in death? Well, spiritual death, there are some indicators. Dryness, darkness, oppression, depression, down, right? Well, we just need to turn to the river. As we turn, maybe it starts as a trickle, but then it starts to flow in, and then we're enlivened. We're brought into resurrection. We're brought out of death, and we're brought into another realm.
Amen.
That other realm is the divine stream,
Amen.
Which is flowing in the center of this universe. Amen. Okay. Also, this river supplies us with life. What a river we have. What a triune God we have. What a divine stream we have that we can experience. There is a stream in this universe. Are you in it?
Amen.
Are you in this divine stream? Do you see this divine stream? Are you experiencing this divine stream?
Amen.
Contacting the flowing triune God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we'll have more on Ezekiel 47 to come. We'll go on to Zechariah chapter 13. This is precious. In Zechariah 13... Okay, I'll read you the verse. 13:1. In that day, there will be an open fountain for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for impurity. There's an open fountain for sin and for impurity. And we see the fulfillment of this in John 19:34. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, which we mentioned, but what came forth was blood and water. Two substances flowed forth from Christ's pierced side, blood and water. So we can just consider the first fountain coming forth. This is blood. And it formed a fountain for the washing away of sin. You know, originally when man was put in the garden and the tree of life was there, the river was there, he was in the garden of Eden of pleasure. Well, but man fell, he became sinful, and he was kicked out of the garden, and there was no entrance to the garden. There was no way for man to come in contact with God. God was longing to reach man, and man was not fulfilling his purpose of human existence because he couldn't come to God. There was this barrier. Well, in that day, in his crucifixion, there was an open fountain for sin and for impurity. Amen. And the way has been open. The barrier we had, we as sinful, impure, unable to approach God, our righteousness, just inadequate to come near God, as filthy rags, well, we could take the cleansing of the blood. He took care of our problem of sin, and we can take him as our righteousness, and we can boldly come back to contact and receive God. This is wonderful. So, hallelujah, we have access. We have access back to this divine stream because of this first fountain of blood for the washing away of our sins. And, you know, this fountain, it isn't a once-for-all thing. When we believe in the Lord, he cleanses all our sins, but this is something we experience again and again. We fall, we're sinful, we're impure, we're separated from God, but this fountain of blood is still flowing. Amen. To cleanse and wash away all our sins. Amen. Even right now, we can just have a little prayer, you know, even as I'm speaking here, just inwardly. You know, we've had, I don't know what this week, where we've been, sin, impurity, we're all the same. Well, this weekend we have a heart to come and touch the Lord, to enter into this divine stream. We can just exercise a little to just pray simply. Even as the message is going on, we can contact the Lord. Oh Lord, I'd just like to freshly apply this fountain. Amen. Wash away everything from the week. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood. Amen. Thank you can wash away all my sin. Amen. That I can come unhindered to contact you as the divine stream. Amen. Amen. Now, the second fountain, this fountain of blood, it takes care of our problem of not being righteous before God, takes care of our redemption to be brought back to God, our judicial redemption. But it was blood and water that flowed out of his side. So we've seen this water is just the flowing forth of his divine life. And this is for our organic salvation. So he flows into us with his life, and he flows and he spreads and he grows and he saturates within our being. This is the organic salvation. So we have the cleansing of our sins, and then we have the enjoyment of the water of life for his life to flow in us, to grow in us, to supply us, to refresh us. Amen. Amen. So the blood takes care of our guilt of sin, and the water takes care of the power of sin. You know, there was in John chapter 8, the Lord came to the woman caught in adultery. And there he was. And he said, you who are without sin, the Pharisees and the righteous ones were judging her, said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And they all left one by one. And eventually the Lord said, neither do I condemn you. Right? Neither do I condemn you. So, but he didn't just leave her cleansed, right, and forgiven of her sin, but he said, go and sin no more. Right? How is this possible? Well, he said, it's because he's the I am. And this is the same thing we have here. We have the fountain of blood, which takes care of the guilt of sin. But to take care of the power of sin, we need the constant flowing of the divine life. If our living, our daily life, if we start our morning turning to the Lord, receiving the divine stream, and as we go through our day, if we're turning back and contacting the Lord, there's a flowing within us. As we see the other brothers and sisters, we flow to them. They flow to us. As we go to the meetings with the saints, this is our living. This is a living in the divine stream. And by living in this divine stream, we're rescued from the power of sin. Hallelujah. Amen. This is automatic. This is spontaneous. The law of the Spirit of life overcomes the law of sin and of death. Amen. So this is Zechariah 13. There is an open fountain in this universe. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, now let's come to the New Testament. And we come to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is a gospel of life. And we have some good news here. Hallelujah. We have the gospel here. Some good news. In the Gospel of John, the Lord called out to the thirsty sinners to drink of the water that quenches not only our thirst, but also flows to satisfy the thirst of all those whom we contact. Amen. So, He flows in to satisfy our thirst, but not only that, we can participate in His flowing by letting Him flow out of us to others, to those who are thirsty around us. This is wonderful. So we drink and we flow. Amen. We drink and we flow. Amen. Amen. Point one. There is a great need in the human life. A desperate need for a certain kind of water to quench man's thirst. And we have two passages here. The first in John chapter 4. Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. And what it's referring to here, in John chapter 4, there was a sinful woman, a Samaritan woman, and the Lord Jesus met her at a well. And this woman had previously had five husbands, was living with someone who was not her husband, and it's because she was thirsty. She was seeking for satisfaction. So she meets the Lord at the well. And here he points out, if you drink of this water, the water in the well, you will thirst again. Right? You will thirst again. She was thirsty. She was longing for satisfaction. But she didn't know the fountain. She didn't know this wonderful Christ. Okay, so we have another passage here, John 7:37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Amen. Well, it's quite interesting that it was on the last day of the feast, right? I mean, this was a great feast. They've been enjoying, they've been drinking, they've been eating, they've been together, gathered together in this feast. You think they would just be satisfied. Wow. But the Lord stands up and says, if anyone thirsts. And this is because all the enjoyment of human life, all the feasts, the parties, whatever we can enjoy in human life leaves us thirsty, leaves us empty. You know, Solomon had this experience. Solomon in the Old Testament, he had it all. He had wealth. He had wisdom. He had a great empire. He had everything. But what did he say? Eventually he said, vanity of vanities. Vapor of vapor. It's just, it's nothing. Without God, everything is vanity of vanity. So, all humankind, in our experience we've seen this, and all those around us, they're thirsty. There's a desperate need to quench their thirst. They're thirsty. Like I said, this is why people sin. This is why people are going out, doing this, doing that. And seemingly, it's a temporary satisfaction. It's an enjoyment. But the next morning, it's all over. And it's just regret, right? I had a little bit of experience. I grew up in a Christian home. I knew the Lord. I had some taste of the river of water of life. But by the time I got to college, I was just drinking other things, you know, academics, sports, social life. I wasn't in the divine stream. Eventually, you just realize you're just empty. There's no satisfaction. But hallelujah, the Lord had mercy. I was restored to the divine stream. And when we come to the divine stream, we have the satisfaction of satisfactions. The water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. This is the Lord. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. 7:38, John. He who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So not only does it satisfy our thirst, it even becomes in us a source that's installed in our being. There is a fountain. There is something coming forth. When the Lord comes into us, he comes into us as a fountain, springing up, gushing forth. There's this vast reservoir of the triune God available in our inner being that we can turn to at any time. This is the satisfaction of satisfaction. This is what all mankind, all those around you, are thirsting and longing for. Sometimes we look and we think, oh, they're so happy. They have this, they have that. But actually inside, you realize they're just thirsty, right? Okay, well, the woman at the well had an experience. When she got a taste of this water, she dropped her water pot, ran back to her city, and said to the people, come see a man. Is this not the Christ? She couldn't help. This river was just in her, just coming forth. She had to speak. She had to flow forth, and she had to tell others about this wonderful fountain, this wonderful divine stream. So we need to be those who not only drink, but also flow forth. Actually, if we don't come and tell the thirsty ones around us, who will? Right? We need a heart for the ones around us, the thirsty ones around us. We're there, we're sitting in class, they're right next to us. We just need to pray. We just need to pray for the Lord to open something up that we could just share a little bit, or we could just invite them to something just to get the taste, that they could have the opportunity, that they wouldn't miss out. If he doesn't flow through us, how is he going to flow to them? Mainly, he reaches man through man. So we need to be those flowing forth. We'll see more this weekend on this matter. Okay. Hallelujah. We want to go on to Revelation. Amen. In the conclusion of the entire Bible, Revelation tells us that this stream of living water flows out from the throne of God and of the Lamb to supply and saturate the entire New Jerusalem. So, in the New Jerusalem, at the end of the Bible, there's a throne. And out of this throne, there's a river. And in this river, on this side and on that side, there's the tree of life. And it is supplying the entire city. Brothers and sisters, this is our eternal destiny. To be in this city of life, enjoying the saturating and supplying of this divine stream. So may this be our experience today. And as we enjoy this divine stream, this will flow us into the New Jerusalem. And our eternal destiny is to enjoy this flowing, to be saturated and supplied by the triune God. Amen. In this stream, we have everything. There's the throne. There's the divine authority. There's God. There's the lamb. There's the life supply. Everything is in the stream. Do you see this divine stream? Do you see there's a divine stream in this universe?
Amen.
Are you in the stream?
Amen.
Are you in the flowing of this triune God? We have to be in this stream. We could be in a lot of things on this earth, but there's only one thing that matters, and that is the flowing of the triune God.
Amen.
We have to be in this divine stream.
Amen.
Actually, in the Bible, there are two lines. There's the line of life, and this line of life begins with the tree of life, the river of water of life. It flows through the whole Bible, and it has a consummation, and that is in the city of life, the New Jerusalem. Well, there's another line that starts with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we can see throughout the Bible the development of this line and all the negative things. And it ends in the lake of fire, right? It ends in... so we have this... We need to see this contrast. In the universe, we can have a living on the line of life, or we can have a living on this other line. We want to be those in the divine stream.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Let's go on to Roman numeral 2, take a little bit of a turn. We've had the helicopter tour of the entire Bible to see this divine stream. Well, we want to see some more of this flow. Praise the Lord. How about if we read 2 all together? Amen. Okay, in this second part of the message, we want to see how does the triune God flow to us in all his processes, and how can we receive this living water and enjoy this living water. So the flow began from the throne in eternity, and God, as we sang, flowed himself into a man. The Lord Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in this man bodily. The divine life was in this man. The flow of this divine life was in this man. So then he had a human living. He was on this earth, and the divine life was there within him. Then in crucifixion, there was a way for this God who was embodied in Christ to be released. And we saw this. When the soldier pierced his side, the flood came out. The flow came out. Actually, God was longing to reach man, not just to come into this one man, the Lord Jesus, but he wanted to flow to each and every one of us.
Amen.
So this first step of incarnation, human living, crucifixion, paved the way that this divine life could be released. This divine stream could flow forth. And we have another verse in John chapter 12, verse 24. It shows us that the Lord was a grain of wheat. In this grain, which was the shell of his humanity, there was the life germ. There was the divine life. And it says in John 12, 24, if it falls into the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. It gets dispensed into us to be the many grains. Well, there's another verse in Luke chapter 12 that said, the Lord was pressed. He was longing to be released. He had a baptism to be baptized with, and he was just longing to release his life. I mean, in John 10:10, it said he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. So he's on this earth. He's the individual grain, and he's just waiting. And then in his death, this was a life-releasing death. This life came out, and he was able to be released. The divine flow was able to reach us. And it flowed in resurrection. It flowed as the life-giving spirit to us. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So his longing to flow forth to us, to give life to us, was brought to fruition through this process. He flowed into a man. In crucifixion, this life was released. And in resurrection, he flowed forth into all of us. Praise the Lord, this divine stream has reached us. And now it flows on in resurrection to supply God's people with the riches of the divine life. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's consider ourselves. Let's consider man. We were created in a particular way to receive this life-giving flow, to receive this divine stream. In point A, we see God created man with the Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah, we have a Spirit.
Amen.
So that man may receive Him and contain Him. He also gave us a heart that seeks Him so that God could be man's satisfaction. If we didn't have a Spirit, and if we didn't have a heart that sought Him, how could God reach us, right? In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says we have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. And if we look to Genesis chapter 2, we see man was created in a particular way. It said He formed man from the dust of the ground. This was man's body. And he breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So you have the body, you have the breath of life, and you have the soul. Okay. Now this word in Hebrew for breath is translated spirit in Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah. So you see, by Him creating man's body, breathing to make the spirit in man, there was the living soul. So there was the body, there was the soul, and there was the spirit. Now, this spirit, at this point, His breath did not contain His life, right? But it was something very close to the Spirit of God. Actually, only man of all creatures has a spirit. This is why all other animals, no animals, have any kind of seeking or longing for God. Only man was created in a particular way with the Spirit to contact God the Spirit. Amen. So, hallelujah, we have a Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. This was the first step. In Zechariah 12:1, we see God's regard for our spirit and how important our spirit is. It's ranked with the heavens and the earth. He said, He stretched forth the heaven, formed the foundation of the earth, and formed the spirit of man within Him. So you have the heavens, you have the earth, and you have the spirit of man. Aren't you happy that you have a spirit?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Not only that, He gave us a heart that seeks Him. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says He put eternity in our heart. This is a seeking, a longing to know the eternal things. Only man has this. So praise the Lord, we're a man with the Spirit.
Amen.
So that we can receive God as our satisfaction. Okay, now how do you receive? How do you receive the living water? You're created in the proper way, you have a spirit. Well, the only way be to receive the living water is to drink.
Amen.
Right? Isn't this logical? How do you receive the living water? You drink.
Amen.
Okay, and to drink is to believe. How do we know this? John 7:37 and 38. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes into me.
Amen.
Drink, he who believes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When we believe into Him, we drink of this living water. To believe is to receive. In John 1:12, it says, as many as received Him, to them He gave authority to become children of God, to those who believe into His name. So when we believe, we're receiving the flow of this divine stream, and we're begotten with the divine life to be genuine children of God. This flow enters into us. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, how we could see a little more about this, how we believe and how we receive. Let's come to Romans chapter 10. Praise the Lord for Romans chapter 10. With, if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord, you will be saved.
Amen.
So we're believing in our heart. We have a genuine believing, but also there's some outward confessing with our mouth. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we are saved.
Amen.
You know, in verse 13, it says, the Lord is rich to all who call upon him. When we call upon the Lord, this is our receiving of this drink. This is our drinking. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. How about if we just drink a little? Call his name. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, this is how we receive the Lord initially, how we drink the Lord, but we just go on in our Christian life. At any time, we can call his name and we can take a drink.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, there's more. See, through baptism, we are immersed into Christ and into the flow that we may continue to drink. So, first we have believing and then we have baptism. Mark 16:16 says, if we believe and are baptized, we will be saved. These are two steps to enjoy salvation. Believe, baptized, we're saved.
Amen.
Okay, what happens when we're baptized? In Romans 6:3, it says, we are baptized into Christ Jesus. So, through baptism, we are immersed into Christ. We're immersed into this stream. And then, when we're in this stream, we can just open our mouth, we're floating in the stream, and we can drink. So we're immersed in Christ, and then we're in the flow, we continue to drink. So our believing is our being baptized is our initiation, right? Into the mingling, into the receiving, right? But our drinking of the Spirit is our continual enjoyment of this divine stream. We could compare this to being married. There's the wedding day, right? This is the initiation. But then after that, there's the wonderful married life. I had a wedding day 12 years ago. It was one day, right? It's like baptism, initiation. But then there's an enjoyment, the last 12 and a half years, just enjoyment, drinking, right? Okay, so this is our married life with the Lord, drinking the divine stream. There's a wonderful footnote. I think we have time. If you have a Recovery Version Bible with notes, turn to 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read this to you. You could say amen if the Lord prompts you within. Amen. Okay. First the verse. Also in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all given to drink one spirit.
Amen.
Okay. Note 13:5. To be baptized in the Spirit is to get into the Spirit.
Amen.
And to be lost in him.
Amen.
Lost in this divine stream. To drink the Spirit is to take the Spirit in.
Amen.
And have our being saturated with him.
Amen.
By these two procedures, we are mingled with the Spirit.
Amen.
To be baptized in the Spirit is the initiation of the mingling and is once for all.
Amen.
We all need to have this initiation. We all need to be baptized.
Amen.
But to drink the Spirit is the continuation and accomplishment of the mingling and is perpetual forever.
Amen.
Forever we'll be drinking.
Amen.
Drinking the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. This requires us to call on the Lord continually and draw water with joy from Him as the fountain of living water.
Amen.
Okay, those who have it open and those who know, we can sing this. Okay? We're going to sing this footnote. Amen. Okay, let's enjoy. This is a way to drink. Singing is a way to drink.
Amen.
Amen. Baptized in the Spirit is to get into the Spirit and to be lost in Him. To drink the Spirit is to take the Spirit in and to have our being saturated with Him. By these two procedures, we are mingled with the Spirit. To be baptized in the Spirit is the initiation of the mingling, and is once for all. To drink the Spirit is the accomplishment of the mingling, and is perpetual forever. Amen. Wonderful. Okay, maybe you can enjoy that hymn some this weekend. Amen. Hallelujah. Is perpetual forever.
Amen.
And ever.
Amen.
Our destiny is to drink Him and enjoy Him. Amen. Okay, so we are created with the Spirit. We receive the living water by drinking, that is believing. Through baptism, we're immersed in Christ, and then we go on to continue drinking the Spirit. And then, not only is there drinking, there's also flowing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Drinking and flowing.
Amen.
Amen. If there is no flowing, there is no way for us to continue drinking.
Amen.
And we have to consider the illustration of the garden hose. If we cover up the spout of the garden hose, even if you have the spigot turned on full blast, there's no flowing forth. There's no fresh water filling that garden hose. So we have to open up the other end. We have to flow.
Amen.
We have to flow, and then we enjoy the fresh filling. this weekend, we can practice flowing forth.
Amen.
How? By speaking to one another, speaking our enjoyment, flowing forth. Also, as we've mentioned in the gospel, sharing with one another, sharing with the thirsty ones, this is how we flow forth. We need to be speaking people, flowing forth. If we're enjoying this flow, it's not too hard to bubble over and flow something out. We have to remember in John chapter 4, verse 14, it says that we have a fountain of water in us springing up into eternal life. So there is this vast reservoir in our being. As we contact this divine stream, it just springs up and flows forth.
Amen.
And this is how we continue drinking. Also, in John 7:37, out of His innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So let's be the speaking people, let's be the flowing people, so that we can continue in this drinking.
Amen.
Okay, as we continue in this drinking, point E, what happens? We become the new Jerusalem. The totality of the eternal life, the destination of the flowing triune God. So God, our God is flowing forth from eternity through all His processes to reach man, to flow into us, and He becomes in us a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. This Greek word into eternal life is also unto. That means resulting in, it has a consummation, this fountain springing up within us, this life within us, it has a destination, it has a consummation. What is that? That is the city of life, the New Jerusalem. As this life grows in us, as this life spreads to others, as this life flourishes, eventually it's built up to be this city of life, the New Jerusalem. This is our eternal destiny, and this is the destination of the flowing triune God.
Amen.
How about if we read the focus together?
Amen. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, there is a divine stream portraying God as life flowing from His throne to be received and enjoyed by all men.
Amen. There is a divine stream.
Amen.
Have you seen it?
Amen.
Are you seeing it? Are you seeing this divine stream?
Amen.
To be received and enjoyed by all men. Are you in it? Are you receiving and enjoying it?
Amen.
Let's spend this whole weekend in this realm.
Amen.
This whole weekend in the divine stream.
Amen.
Receiving and enjoying the flowing of the triune God.
Amen.